Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is presented on Relevant Radio by Stinson Electric, your trusted electrical advisor solving electrical problems for commercial, industrial, and institutional facility managers. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins.
And I'm Corey Regan.
It's good to have you with us today.
What do we have today for the show? We've got a great show lineup.
We do. We got a wonderful show today. Of course, our shows are always revolving around evangelization and bringing Jesus to the world. We're excited about that. But today we have two things we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking to Estela Villagran Manchero. I got that down. That's a beautiful name. She is the leader of the Latino ministry.
Okay. Talk about what's going on in the Twin Cities with the Latino community and just about the group in general.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. She does an amazing, amazing work. And one of the things that has really opened my eyes is just how big the Latino ministry is in the Twin Cities. Mm-hmm. Do you know there's over 23 different Latino-speaking groups?
Groups.
Different groups, different countries?
Mm-hmm. That live here.
That's amazing. You talk about a job. We're going to talk to Estela a little bit later on, and we're going to look at some of the good things that are happening in the Twin Cities in the Catholic Latino community. And, you know, you might be thinking right now, well, I don't speak Spanish, and I don't speak Portuguese, and I'm not Latino. Why would I want to listen to that? Well, I'll tell you why, because you're part of the body of Christ.
We're all in it together.
We are. We're all in it together. There's no such thing as different kinds. We're all one family, you know. And so we need to understand what's happening in the Latino community, pray for our brothers and sisters. And there's issues going on today with some of the immigration issues that the Catholic Church is playing a central role in.
Sure.
And this is what our faith is about. So I'm looking forward to that. We're also going to be talking about Scripture today with a good friend and a professor at the seminary, Father Scott Carl. And so we're going to talk about how to study the Bible.
The Bible and the role it plays in our faith.
Hopefully.
That sounds good. And tell me, okay, so what's going on with the celebration and evangelization in general in your world? What's going on?
Well, it is exciting. You know, I'm the new director now of evangelization and catechesis. And number one on our plate right now is this Rediscover celebration October 3rd and 4th at the Minneapolis Convention Center, which, by the way, we're going to talk to Estela about briefly because there's a whole Latino track.
Right. A big part of that is for the Latino community.
And, of course, you know our theme. Our theme this year is
Horizon of Hope.
Yep.
Is
yep,
that it?
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Horizon of Hope. And it's taken from a teaching of Pope Francis, where he talks about how we need a horizon of hope and how hope is so important in our lives. And you know that it is. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19 says that hope is an anchor for the soul. And I don't know many people who don't need an anchor, you know, in their life.
Right.
And when we talk about hope, just to clarify that, you know, some people have the definition of hope being, I hope so, you know, you're going to have a good weekend, hope so.
Mm-hmm.
But hope from a Christian perspective is not based in your own personal experience, your own personal wisdom, your own personal knowledge. Hope is based on God. And it's based on his work and who he is and his faithfulness. And so, you know, today, if you are thinking to yourself, I feel hopeless and I don't feel like I have an anchor for my life, you need to turn to Jesus, who gives us the hope that becomes the anchor in our life. And that is going to be the theme of the entire conference. And I think we talked about some of the speakers.
Mm-hmm, we did. We listed some, and that it's 2 days long this year, or there's two parts, a Friday night
right
for young adults and all day Saturday again. And so who are the speakers, or who are some of the speakers that we have?
We've got some big speakers this year. We got Dr. Scott Hahn.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be talking to us on the 4th, Saturday the 4th. And Archbishop Coakley from Oklahoma City is going to be joining us. We have Leah Darrow.
We had her on the show
not too long ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Marie Miller.
Marie Miller, outstanding musician. Getting back to Leah Darrell, she was a former model.
She was on America's Next Top Model.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep, and she gave it all up.
Worked in New York, yes. Yeah, if you want to hear that interview, you can always go to our archives at rediscover-faith.org. Click on radio, and there are archived shows. You can hear our discussion with her about the big decision she made to come back to talking more about her faith and leaving New York City.
Curtis Martin's going to join us. He is the founder of Focus, Fellowship of Catholic University Students, and they have an amazing ministry, actually. They're in over 100 and some major universities and colleges around the country, and they are establishing Bible studies and bringing a great witness of Jesus Christ to the university campus, much like St. Paul Outreach in the Twin Cities,
right.
SPO.
And what about this busted halo, Dave Dwyer?
Father Dwyer, I'll tell you what, this guy, I was with him three weeks ago in Atlanta at the Eucharistic Congress. Is this guy a good speaker or what? He really communicates, particularly with young adults.
Okay.
And he's going to be joining us on the Friday night, October 3rd, for Young Adult Night. You mentioned it earlier, Corey, that we have two different days for the celebration event. Friday, October 3rd at night is all young adults at the Minneapolis Convention Center.
And to clarify, anyone 18 or older can attend this, but mainly for 20s and 30s.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, I will not be there. Actually, I will be there, but I will
barely make the cut.
I will be there.
We'll all be allowed in.
Yes, they're not going to
grudgingly
kick you out. They're not going to make you show your ID, I don't think.
If you can dye that hair, Paul, you can come.
Not a chance.
So we got Father Dwyer is going to be just fantastic, and we have some surprises. We're not going to get into them right now, but I would say this: get your tickets, because last year, you remember what happened, Paul? Last year with it sold,
sell out.
It sold out, and we're
turning people away. I mean, it was sold out so quickly.
People were upset. Mm-hmm. You know, I said, wait a minute, you know, I can't even get tickets.
We've got twice as big of a space this year.
A little bit more than that. Yeah, we can fit 12,000 this year, but we're already selling an awful lot of the tickets. And so we encourage you to get your tickets soon, get them often, and buy a couple of extra and bring a friend. It's really a great opportunity to evangelize, you know, to invite people to the Catholic Church celebration. This might be the only opportunity that some people have to see Catholics who are alive and dynamic,
excited
and
about
celebrating
their faith. Yeah,
yeah. We got a lot to celebrate. We got an awful lot to be happy about. So once again, that's October 3rd and 4th. Put it on the calendar, and you can go to our website. And you can just Google it, you know. Just
yeah, it, the Archdiocesan website or the rediscover-faith.org website.
Yeah, both of them.
Go under events and you will see it there.
And we're going to have a whole track for youth. In fact, my wife's going to be part of that this year. She's going to be teaching the Bible to the youth during the celebration event. And we have a teen track and young adult, as I said, on Friday night.
Sonar, the band.
Sonar is going to be there. That's right. We're going to be leading in praise and worship. And I'm looking forward to talking to our guest today, Estella, who heads up the Latino ministry, to find out a little bit about the Latino track at the celebration event. But this whole show is about evangelization, and we're so glad that you are listening. And we encourage you to pray for the Rediscover Ministries and the evangelization efforts. Right now, Corey, I am really busy meeting with people and talking about new initiatives, new dynamic ways of bringing Christ to the community. In fact, that's one of the things I'm looking forward to in talking to Estella, and not only in this show, but moving on, you know, into the future, is how can we bring Christ to an ever-growing Latino community in the Twin Cities? And when people think about Minneapolis-St. Paul, oftentimes they don't think about people from Mexico, because we're so far north.
Right.
Did you know that 65%
of the Latino community,
Mexican,
yeah.
Guess what the second biggest is? I know this because we talked to our guests.
Like, do you want me to guess? I think, is it, where'd you say? Uruguay?
Ecuador.
Ecuador. I never would have thought that.
I know. There's a lot of stuff we don't know. We're going to find out today.
We're going to learn a lot today about that community.
So when we come back, we'll talk with Estella about the Latino ministries. God bless you today. I hope that you're finding your walk with the Lord refreshing. Remember to read the Bible today. Remember to take some time and pray. Pray for your church here in the Twin Cities, this great Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. So I'm Jeff Gavins, along with Paul Sadek and Corey Regan, and this is the Rediscover Hour. We'll be back in just a moment.
Rediscover.
Hi, this is Paul Archambault, owner of Stinson Electric, and we are the proud sponsor of the Rediscover Hour. Stinson Electric is a Catholic, family-owned company that serves the electrical construction and repair needs of local businesses, churches, and schools. Our faith and our motto of quality, integrity, and service guides our business decisions every day. For small projects, troubleshooting a circuit, or installing an outlet or light fixtures, we have a fleet of service trucks that are staffed by licensed electricians who are knowledgeable, courteous, and efficient. They have the latest technology to diagnose and repair your electrical problem. For larger projects such as new buildings, building additions, or relocating equipment, we'll help you design, budget, and build the project. Stinson Electric would like to be your trusted electrical advisor. I would welcome the opportunity to meet with you and discuss your electrical needs. Call Stinson Electric 612-424-7382.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Corey Regan, and I'm here with Jeff Cavins and Paul Sadek. And today, we are so grateful to have the Director of Latino Ministry for the Twin Cities, Estella Villagran Manchero, here with us to talk about all of the good things happening in our Latino Catholic community. And Estella, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Buenos dias.
Yes, buenos dias. So first off, let's talk about how did you get here, and what is your role in our community and in our archdiocese?
14 years ago, I was hired by the Archdiocese Latino Ministry to actually do evangelization.
Okay.
And start forming small Christian communities within the parishes that we had opened.
Okay.
And previous to that, I helped develop and open three different parishes where Latinos were at the community. And that was why I was noticed by the diocese, and they hired me.
Wonderful. And you're from?
I am originally from Uruguay, which is a very tiny country between Brazil and Argentina.
Okay. And so tell us about our Latino community here in the Twin Cities. What groups does it encompass? And just a little bit about that, if you would.
All right. Our communities have grown tremendously. 33 winters ago, when I first came, there were very little people. I couldn't find anybody that spoke Spanish.
Right.
Even though we do have a parish which serves the Latino community, and that is Our Lady of Guadalupe, that has been for over 84 years now founded.
Okay.
But in the regular streets, you couldn't find too many people that spoke Spanish.
Yeah.
And right now, from the census of 2000 to 2010, our community have grown 75% in our Episcopal region of
Wonderful.
Minnesota and the Dakotas.
That's amazing. You know, when you think about Latino community, when I first met you a number of months ago, Estella, I was talking about Spanish ministries. And you corrected me very, very quickly and very well that it's not just Spanish ministries.
Correct.
It's Latino. What? Give me the definition of that. What are we talking about when we say Latino ministries, St. Paul, Minneapolis?
Well, when we say Latino, and that's why we chose to be called that, we are a little bit more inclusive in the name. Hispanic is a name that, yes, we do use. Our government gave us that name when they started doing the census. And we honor with that name all the people that were already living here when the flag changed and they became United States citizens, you know, so many, 150 years ago. So those, they are called Hispanics, and that's why they gave it the name. But right now, it's changing all around the country. You started hearing Latino. We started this process of being more inclusive about 10 years ago. And you know, we do include the people from Brazil that speak Portuguese, many of the native communities that are from native, the Mayas and the Incas, and they are from, they speak their own language. So it's more inclusive.
So when we talk about the Latino ministry, which you're the director of, You'd mentioned to me that we had 23 different groups. Is that 23 countries or 23?
Yeah, we do have. When we say, you know, we speak Spanish, it's our common language, but within each country, we have different little names for our vegetables, for example. But they are all the countries of South America, the countries of Central America, Mexico, and then, of course, Spain.
Spain, that is
the main country that brought the Spanish language into America.
And the largest group is...
In our region, we have a 65% population of Mexican-Americans.
You know, the issue of immigration has been in the news quite a bit, and I know that as a director of ministries in the Latino community, you have to be on top of this and talking about it. And the church in Rome is talking about immigration policies. Talk to us just briefly as to why that is so important. When somebody comes from Mexico, they come from Uruguay, they come from Paraguay, wherever they're coming from, to the United States, how does the Catholic Church play a role in that, in their life?
All right. Well, our faith is, we were all born Catholic in Latin America. So in other countries, are much more religious than, you know, for example, Uruguay is not a very religious country, but Mexico, it is very much.
Everything. It's part of the culture, right?
I mean, absolutely. It is who you see are. Rosaries and, you know, everywhere. It's culture and Catholicism is together.
Hand in hand, right.
So when the people come here, the very first thing they do is they find a church, you know, and that's what I personally did. Okay.
That is the first thing.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I called them, okay, so which church is, you know, closer to me?
A place to worship.
And you go to church, and that's where you find your family. Because when we come, we don't have anybody with us. It's, we make our family with the community.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that as the director of evangelization, one of the things I want to look at is bringing the Latino community to other parishes and let us learn more about you and you learn more about us. Same with the African-American parishes and African-American Catholics. It pains me a bit to see us separate.
So separate, yeah.
Yeah, that we don't, there's such a richness in Latin America with the Catholic Church, and there's such a richness in the Catholic Church with the African-American community that we could benefit from. And I'd love to see ways of coming together and sharing the richness of our backgrounds.
Yes, and not only African Americans, but right now we have a big influx of Africans from all the 57 countries of Africa. So actually I would like to invite you this weekend. We have a tremendous get together in my home parish, which is San Alfonso's in Brooklyn Park, Brooklyn Center, and where we will have, you will see all the communities, you know, working and praying together.
Yeah.
We have it's just our fun fest, but Bishop Cassin is going to be celebrating our mass. But we have, you will see on the parking lot, all the different food posts from the Vietnamese community, from the Pan-African group, which is the organization that all the Africans are, you know, founded, and that's what they would like to be called. The Latinos, and of course, the marvelous, Anglo community that welcome us and open their doors you know, to host us and to give us a space to pray.
You know, as they have taste of Minnesota, sounds like we have taste of Catholicism.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
All the different types of food. You don't need to go anywhere. Just go on over there and get
Absolutely. So that's this weekend.
It's
this weekend, yeah. We start Saturday.
What time?
It starts with 5 o'clock Mass, actually.
Okay, 5 o'clock Mass.
And we are having a polka Mass.
You got everything.
One more to add to.
Yes.
And then no one is left out.
And then Sunday we will have an 11 o'clock Mass where, you know, it's going to be a multicultural, tremendous experience.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the things that are actually happening right now in the Latino community. You have a lot going on. Highlight some of the big things that are happening right now. I know that you have a special ministries for women and men, and you have formation classes that are developing now, and you're actually graduating, I believe, about
150
That's
students.
Amazing. That's amazing. I didn't even know that. We need to know this. Yes. Tell us a little bit about the men and women's ministries.
Well, this ministry started officially 2 years ago. Actually, Bishop Pichet sent me the leadership of Catholic Mennonite to talk to me and see how they can reach the Latino men. And I put a team together of leaders that I knew they could do the job organizing. Mm-hmm. And for the first three meetings, I was facilitating the meetings, serving them food, you know, for the meetings and all that, like it's our custom. Mm-hmm. And they started planning, and they just kick off on September last year, their first Catholic Men Night in Spanish. And they are doing it every other month. They're getting together and inviting men in for a holy hour, mm-hmm. a teaching of the life, a specific part of life of Jesus, mm-hmm. Jesus as a man, as a son, as an evangelizer. And then they have a fellowship, some talks during the dinner time. And of course, you know, during the holy hour, they offer confessions. Our priests support us and come and offer.
Is that the same format for the women?
Yes, it is. Actually, we launched our Latino women get together 2 months ago.
The first one?
Yes, the very first one. And what we are doing is we do follow the same format, but we are also teaching the women, all the women in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and what kind of character they were bringing, mm-hmm. and what are the virtues of those that they had, what does our Catholic Church says about them. And so we are tying it together with Jesus, but in a little bit different way, because we want for them to have women
examples.
Yeah. Yes.
And now, where could someone find information about where and when these nights are?
Actually, they are all posted in the website.
Okay.
And very soon we will have the whole year of dates for the men. They are getting together their dates. And actually, the men night is tonight. It's tonight in the parish of San Joaquim and Anne in Shakopee.
Okay.
So it's at 6 o'clock. And all the men that speak Spanish are invited, and the ones that don't speak, they can still pray together and hang out.
Absolutely. Have some food.
Everyone is welcome.
You mentioned the website. That's just the regular website, and
it's our archdiocese website.
And there's a special tab for
events.
Yes, and for Latino ministries. Yeah, we are working on the website. We are upgrading and... Actually, yeah, it's
a work in progress.
It is a work in progress.
Well, in one of our prior interviews, we were speaking with the Curcio community. And
yes.
Of course, that started in the Spanish world. And,
of course.
And that's still going on in the Twin Cities, right?
Oh, yes, of course. We revived the Curcio movement. We came in Spanish many years ago. And actually, it was my uncle, which is a priest, and he's the director of the Curcio in Uruguay.
Oh, okay.
So he wanted to have some connections with us, and he came to do my son's first communion. And so we got all the materials in Spanish and all that from him.
For those that want to go fairly serious into their faith and learn about it, you have a Formation Institute also in Spanish.
Yes. Much like the Catechetical Institute.
Absolutely. Actually, yeah, we kind
similar
of copycat it from the one in English.
Okay.
And we have exactly the same format. It's a little bit, it's a 2-year, and it's not every single week because it's very hard for our community. So we teach it once a month, every Saturday.
Okay.
And
now tell me, and you're about to graduate 150 students from there, right?
Well, yes, and they are from the other institutes also. We have a Biblical Institute,
okay,
which is based a study of the Bible, mm-hmm, a basic course. And this September, we are starting an advanced one.
Wonderful.
And we've been offering to the Spanish speakers the Latino Institute of Pastoral Development, Pastoral Leadership.
Okay.
And that we have been doing that since 2002.
Now tell me about, you were talking earlier about there's a big event coming up, like one of your biggest, with
yes,
4,000 Spanish speaking
families attending.
Tell me about that.
Yeah,
we have
our celebration, and it's Latino Family Day.
Okay.
Dia de la Familia Latina, and that is coming up in August 2nd. We are going to be at the Como Park. We are going to have a mass with Bishop Cousins and all our priests. They will celebrate, the ones that work for the Latino ministry. And we are planning great things. This is our third year that we get the families together to celebrate our culture and being Catholic. And so we have games for the children. Of course, we do serve food. It's a picnic. Mm. Everybody, we offer the meat and, you know, the chicken, and every single parish bring rice and salads, and we have a watermelon post, so every parish has to chip in with five watermelons. And then we have contests. We have piñata contest, so every parish brings one piñata that they design full of candy, and then, you know, during the day we break it and all that, and the children are the judges to see who wins.
I'm sure there's got to be some Latino background in my lineage. I'm missing out on all this stuff.
Well,
you're very much welcome to come. And
I'm sure there's music.
Absolutely, we have music.
It's a party.
It is a party. We have the mass and salsa contest, tamale contest.
We're talking with Estela Mananchero, Villagran Mananchero.
Yes.
Sounds like a fine wine. And she is the director of the Latino Ministries here in the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. And Estela, you've got so many other great things going on. You got Youth Day in Spanish. You got retreats for married couples, marriage prep retreats, Sons and Daughters Forever, a teenage chastity program. Mm-hmm. You have just incredible things, regional retreat weekends. And, of course, people can find all of this at the Archdiocesan website. And all of these good things that are happening. What would you say, as kind of our final question for you today, what do you think that the rest of the church in the Twin Cities might misunderstand about you people in the Latino world?
Misunderstanding is that we are always late for everything.
The time is a little bit different. It's
exactly. So
right?
our concept of time is different. We never start a meeting with an agenda and we'll go right into business. First, we talk about our relationship is the most important thing, the personal relationship that I have with you.
So it starts out personal and...
Absolutely. We talk about your family. How
and you have food.
Always. We always start with food and just making everybody at home. And
right.
Then when everybody got there, then we'll start.
Right. I like that. That seems much more fun.
It's more relaxed.
Relaxed, yes.
Well, Estela, thank you so much for joining us on the Rediscover Hour. It's been a delight to talk to you. And I look forward to, as another director working with you in evangelization and bringing Christ to the Twin Cities, both in the English-speaking world and the Latino ministries. And I thank God that you're here.
Absolutely. And we'll be grateful if you come to our picnic. Mm-hmm. Come over.
As long as the food's there, we'll be there.
Food and music. Sounds fun.
This has been Estela Villa Gran Manachero, and pray for her. Pray for all of the Latino ministries. Coming up on the Rediscover Hour, we're going to be talking with Father Scott Carl. He is a professor over at the seminary. He teaches Bible, and he's going to help us with some questions on what about fearing the Bible? What about studying? Do we study it differently than other groups of people study it? And what are some tips to get going in a good Bible study? We'll do all of that.
When we come right back, you're listening to the Rediscover Hour.
This is Sarah Ennis with a cultural note from Catholic Studies at the University of St. Thomas. Flannery O'Connor, a Southern Catholic, left her native Georgia at the age of 20 with every expectation that she would spend her life among the literary figures of the North. Struck with lupus 5 years later, she returned home to Milledgeville, where she lived on a modest farm with her widowed mother. Although the progression of the disease left her crippled and increasingly in pain, O'Connor produced a body of novels, short stories, essays, and letters that would leave a distinctive mark on American literature. She would write until her death in 1964, at the age of 39.
Relevant Radio is proud to bring you cultural notes from the University of St. Thomas Center for Catholic Studies. For information on local Catholic Studies events, go to the Events tab at relevantradio.com.
Hit the road. Revisit Highway 61. Zip line through the North Woods. Splash across the Mississippi headwaters. Blow a kiss in America's most romantic city. Post pics from the country's largest sculpture garden. Spot a herd of bison and climb the quartzite cliff. Then catch the sunset from a paddleboard on the chain of lakes. Check out exploreminnesota.com and discover everything you can find only in Minnesota.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Corey Regan.
And I'm Jeff Cavins.
And today we are joined with Father Scott Carl, a professor at the seminary, and he teaches us about Scripture, and he's going to talk with us today about the Bible and Scripture. Welcome, Father Scott.
Hello, hello, everyone.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing very well this morning, thank you.
You are not in the Twin Cities, though. You sound far away. What are you doing?
Well, I'm gratefully on a youth trip with St. Joseph's in West St. Paul, a group, and we're in Rhode Island.
Fantastic. Oh, I can hear. Are they in the background?
We're on the bus still, actually. For a little while this morning.
Oh, that's fantastic.
The Steubenville Conference in Rhode Island begins this afternoon. And so just a little fun with the young people and the great adult leaders that come along.
How many are with you?
I think there's 86 youth and just about 20 adult leaders.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, we'll remember to pray for you as you're traveling to the Steubenville Youth Conference. Those are amazing conferences. I've got to tell you, when I taught at Steubenville, I was there in the summers, and I don't know of anything that's transformed young people's lives quite like a Steubenville conference.
And I think that's, you know, it's part of the reason I'm here. St. John Paul is a hero of mine working with the youth, and to see the transformation in the youth as they go through the bus trip together and the retreat itself. Mm-hmm. And then on the way home, just, you know, praying together, learning some things about the life in Christ, forming friendships. It's a beautiful, beautiful time.
Well, we're changing topics on you here. We want to talk about the Bible. You're kind of our resident theologian when it comes to the Bible at the seminary. Talk to us just briefly a little bit about your background with the Bible and how you got interested in studying the Bible and ended up becoming the Bible teacher at the seminary.
Yeah, well, God has a sense of humor. Of course, I grew up as a Catholic, a cradle Catholic, going to Mass all the time and listening to the Word. And I remember as a child, some proclamations of the Word that touched me, and going to the Bible and looking them up. And then as, you know, life goes on, I felt called to be a priest and studied some and praying some and trying to feed God's people with the word as they prepare to receive the word made flesh in the Eucharist. And but then, you know how the bishop, was at a priest gathering, and the auxiliary bishop asked me, "Hey, Archbishop Swinnen, I would like to send you to study sacred scripture." I said, "Oh, really?" And they said, "You know, pray about it and let's talk." And then I went to study. So it's 4 years of priest by the time I left to go study. And then 4 years studying, I studied at the Pontifical Biblical Institute, which is in Rome, and spent 4 years studying the Bible and lots of languages, of course, and then have been teaching now for 6 years.
And that has become your passion now.
It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. And it's wonderful to see, you know, to pray with the word, and as it strikes me as I prepare to preach or prepare to teach, and then to share that, and to really see how the Lord feeds his people.
Yeah.
Feeds his people with his word, and then of course, the Eucharist.
Well, let's get into some of the details about studying the Bible. As you know, I'm interested in Bible study also. Corey, you're a convert.
I am.
And you studied the Bible quite a bit before you became Catholic.
Well, that's kind of all we did I was a Presbyterian, and growing up, it was kind of a social thing to go to Bible study. And I've just kind of missed that since I've converted. And I'm looking for ways to, as a Catholic, to study the Bible. And how is it different, do you think, than maybe in the evangelicals do?
That's a good question. Do we approach it, Father?
Is it different?
Do we approach the Bible differently than, say, an evangelical or a fundamentalist?
It has a different role, should it, or should it not?
Yeah, I think it has a different role, I think, but it's still extremely central. And
I mean, it's supposed to be equal, right?
I would say we relate to it differently because we see how the scriptures came about to the life of the church. And so even the Old Testament, again, you think in the ancient minds, the word old meant very good, right?
Right.
So the Old Testament, this very good testament, that's what the early Christians used as their Bible, and they read it and interpreting it in the light of Christ, because it spoke to them of Christ, and so they used it. And then out of that worship and preaching from that word, ultimately came the New Testament. And so it's really out of the life, the worshiping life of the church, the evangelization life of the church, that our scriptures come. And so then, you know, the book is important as the living word. It was the living church that gave, that through the power of the Holy Spirit, formed this word, proclaimed this word. And then so then when we enter in and we read this the sacred word, we're participating in that life. The life of the early church, which brought it to be, the life of the church, which has used it throughout the centuries, and the life of the church now, fortifying, nourishing us, and then all the more at the Eucharist when that word becomes flesh.
What would you say to Catholics that would say to you, "Well, Father, I'm kind of nervous about studying the Bible. I'm a little bit afraid. I might misinterpret this, and I'd rather just not misinterpret it. And after all, we have the sacraments, and all those other groups have the Bible."
Yeah, I think one way to look at it is Pope Benedict in Verbum Domini. He speaks of having a personal relationship with the Word, with sacred Scripture, and any relationship, it just takes time to get to know each other.
Mm-hmm.
And as that relationship forms to this, and meaningful relationships, there's a sense of vulnerability. And so those questions, knowing, because if we read with the life of the church, and even if we get a little confused sometimes, that we come and with our faith seeking understanding, and that the Lord wants to nourish us.
I like that analogy that you use, Father, from Verbum Domini. And Verbum Domini, by the way, that's an official church document about studying the Bible, isn't it?
That's the newest one, correct? Pope Benedict. Now, tell me about the Catechism and what does it talk about or tell us as far as studying the Bible is.
Yeah, the Catechism, it goes over, let's say, especially paragraphs from 109 and those that follow. It reviews some things that are in from the Second Vatican Council, the main, very important document called Dei Verbum, the Word of God, is what that means.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's various aspects, and this would come to how do Catholics approach the scriptures. So the one, paragraph 112, be especially attentive to the content and unity of the whole scripture. So as I was saying, that this came to be out of the life and worship of the church, and because it speaks of Christ. And so the sense of unity that Christ is the unifier of scripture and proclaims, and so the scriptures speak of him, and we read in that light. So the content and unity of the whole scripture, second principle it gives in paragraph 113, to read scripture within the living tradition of the whole church. And so, again, related to my explanation, this idea that it's a living tradition. So the same spirit that inspired the word, those who wrote it, has inspired the life of the church since. And that inspires our faith. And so there's this profound communion that we have with the life of the church through the centuries by reading this word. And so we're united with this living tradition. And then thirdly, be attentive to the analogy of faith. The analogy of faith in the sense of the coherence of the truths of faith and the truths of faith that are teachings of our faith, the teachings of the church, and the whole plan of revelation. So this idea that there is simply a coherence, that there's, mm-hmm. what would you say, if it's a body, right, all the parts work together to nourish and to fortify and to strengthen and to build us up and to draw us into a deeper love with Christ and ultimately the Trinity.
We're talking with Father Scott Carl. He teaches scripture at the St. Paul Seminary here in the Twin Cities. And talking about our approach to scriptures as Catholics and how we go about it. And Father, those paragraphs are so important. You just gave three really great guiding principles that the church gives us that give us a sense of certitude when approaching the scriptures, that the scriptures are like a sandbox in a way. I mean, God invites us to come in. It's a love letter to have that intimate relationship with him and to not be so much afraid that we're going to mess up or we're going to misinterpret. You know, I was thinking earlier, Corey, you've been married for a while. With your husband, have you ever misunderstood each other?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I mean, there's going to be times where you think, well, maybe I'm not on spot on there, but it's a, like you said, Father, it's a relationship that we have to enter into, and it just gets better and better. Now, on the other side of paragraphs 112, 113, and 114 in the Catechism, it goes into what are called the senses of Scripture. And this is where it becomes very, very deep. And the Church gives us some specifics to look for in the Bible when we study. Can you quickly go over those senses with us?
Sure. Well, the first sense and the sense that the others are built upon, the literal sense. So we simply see what was intended. What did the sacred authors intend by what they communicated to us in the writing?
Mm-hmm.
And so this is, in particular, the sense of people trained like myself to study sacred scripture, exegesis, to fortify, give us some of the historical background, and to help us go more deeply into the word.
Mm-hmm.
We can do that for those, for people of faith, to find a trustworthy commentary, something like the Catholic Commentary on Sacred Scripture, which is some works on the New Testament that are coming out,
uh-huh.
at a very approachable level, the Catholic Commentary on Sacred Scripture. And then, so we get this the sense of what was intended to be communicated. Then the spiritual senses, we could say the other three, the spiritual senses, they flow from the sense that it is a living word. It's a word, it's a word inspired by the Spirit, and that the Spirit can intend things beyond what the human author himself intended. And so the senses, that these kind of couple of words are, you know, bigger words, the allegorical sense, the moral sense, and then thirdly, the anagogical sense. So the allegorical sense, I think people would be familiar with this if they've ever been to an Easter vigil, and a lot of the readings, especially the reading from the Exodus and the passing through the Red Sea, and the sense of seeing baptism in that image, right?
Mm-hmm.
Certainly when when the Exodus was happening, people were thinking, oh yeah, someday this is going to be a great image for, you know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and baptism and life. No, but in the same spirit that inspired the people and that living body, the people of Israel crossing through the in their Exodus, the same spirit leading us in our ways of faith. And so then we see that the in the fullness of time, the sense of what that scripture says, and in speaking as well, meaningful in itself, but then in Christ as well. So then the moral sense, the sense of morality, the how we act.
How it relates to us.
How it relates to us in our daily living.
Okay. Right?
So it's not just the living sense or the literal sense, but something that, so as we read this, and we'll read, let's say, the Psalms in light of the life of Christ, and what's drawing us in our way of following Jesus. Uh-oh.
It's up.
Hello?
Hello, we're here.
Hello, are we back?
Yeah, we're back.
We're here.
But we're still here, okay.
If you just tuned in, Father is in Rhode Island with a bunch of young people and adults going to a conference right now, so we have...
On a bus.
Talking about Scripture.
And so thank you for your patience with that. So the moral sense, the sense of reading, let's say, the Psalms in the light of Christ, and how do we follow Christ in light of, you know, praising the Lord, thanking the Lord, or even in times lamenting and bringing those to the Lord. And so the first, allegorical sense, the second, the moral sense, and thirdly, the anagogical sense, the kind of the funniest word of the three, speaking of the things of the end, helping us prepare for our life, eternal life in heaven. Mm-hmm. And so what about the scripture speaks to us about leading us into heaven to kind of live in light, live our lives in light of this eternal salvation, so that we're like heaven-bound, and we live our lives heaven-bound. And so when, as we read the Word, it's kind of convicting us, things we may need to change, because I want to live now, so it's to live in eternity.
Right.
How I live now affects how I will live in eternity. And so that the Word is really kind of convicting us in ways and leading us in our daily journey.
Let me plug something in, Father, and run it through those four items that you just mentioned, the literal sense and the three spiritual aspects of the spiritual sense. Let me just plug one thing in, and you tell me if this would be correct. For those that are trying to study the Bible and thinking, okay, how would I put this into practice? Let's take a look at the temple, for example. If we were to study the temple in the Old Testament, Solomon's temple that he built, the first thing that you're saying we would do in paragraph 116 of the Catechism is look for the literal sense. What's the intended meaning of the author when he's talking about the temple in Jerusalem? Now, at that point, you'd begin to study ancient temples and the literary aspect of it and so forth, right?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay, so you find out, what was a temple? What did they do in a temple? What did they sacrifice? Who sacrificed in a temple?
The players, the characters of the story. I mean, you looked into that to try and figure out who's doing what.
That's
and,
right.
And now, what their background is.
Exactly. Now we're going to turn to the spiritual sense, and you mentioned three of them. And what we're going to do is we're going to start to look now at the allegorical sense, or how does this relate to Christ? How does this relate to Jesus as a type? And we could say, well, I think I know the answer to that. Jesus is the new temple.
The new temple, that's right.
And then we go into the moral sense, and how does it relate to me? And all of a sudden I run into Corinthians where Paul says, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit.
That's right, we're temples of the Holy Spirit.
And then the anagogical sense, in the end, Book of Revelation starts talking about a new temple. Would that be a fair...
I think it's a beautiful way of looking at the image of the temple. Yeah, okay. I think those are, touch on each of those areas and give us a helpful perspective or insight into that.
What about translations? Someone's listening right now saying, but boy, I want to get deeper into Bible study as a Catholic. Are all Bibles the same? Do I just go to Barnes & Noble and pick up a Bible? Are there a couple that you would recommend?
Sure. I think the Bibles, you know, there are, you know, Catholic Bibles. So we have, so I think it's good to get a Catholic Bible. In the beginning, you'll see that the bishops have given their approval for the work that's been done, and because, of course, we have a few extra books, more than our Protestant brothers and sisters. And so we want the sacred scriptures as we see them and as we've received them. And so that's why a very important aspect of having a Catholic Bible. But then also there'll be little guides in as we read. If we go, we want to read the Gospel of John, so we can go to the beginning. In that, there'll be a little introduction about the Gospel of John. And then sometimes when there's tricky verses, we can go down into the footnotes. Everyone loves footnotes, I know. But sometimes they're a little helpful guiding principles in them. I think something handy, at least for the New Testament, because that's what's out now, the Catholic, Ignatius Catholic Study Bible.
Oh, that's a great one.
You know, especially because there's some confusing passages, right? And that's, as you were referring to earlier, how people get confused or intimidated. And so then what's beautiful that I've seen, you know, so here's a little confusing spot, and then I go down to that footnote. And
it explains it.
It takes my Catholic concern. It's like, oh, it gives me some insight. Mm-hmm. And so then, okay, then I can kind of keep reading and praying and learning. So I think that's helpful. But, you know, the New American Bible, it's now there's a new revision. You know, there's lots of scholars who have done a lot of work, and, you know, it's approved by the bishops. So I think anything approved by our bishops, you know, there are shepherds. So they're not biblical scholars, some of them are, but that they, you know, they've gone through the channels and to offer us, you know, a meaningful translation of God's Word so that it can fortify us and nourish us and lead us in the ways of Christ.
So a couple of them you recommend, the Revised Standard Version Catholic Edition, which is used in the Catechism, and the New American Bible, as you call the NAB, which is used during the liturgy, right?
That's right.
Well, fantastic. Well, Father, we want to thank you for being on the show today and sharing a little bit about Scripture. Love to have you back when you're in town to go a little bit deeper into studying the Bible as a Catholic. But we'll pray for you on the road with all those young people and the 20 or so adults that are with you, chaperoning these fine young people to the Steubenville Conference up in Rhode Island.
Okay. Well, hey, guys. Thank you. Let's say thanks to Jeff. Thank you. All right.
55 miles an hour down the road. Thanks, Father. We'll talk to you when you get back.
Thank you. Peace to you.
You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. That was Father Scott Carl. He teaches Scripture at the St. Paul Seminary. And wow, we need to get into Scripture more. This is what it means to be Catholic. Study the Bible. It's a love letter. Get your direction from God, your comfort from God, and to find out who He is through His words and deeds. So we're gonna take a break. When we come back, we've got a few events coming up in the Archdiocese we want to let you know about. And you're listening to the Rediscover Hour.
Rediscover.
Hi, I'm Paul Archambault from Stinson Electric. You're a facility manager or business owner with electrical or lighting needs, we can help. Have you heard the buzz lately about energy efficient lighting? You wonder if it makes sense for your facility? You may not know who you should call or who you can trust. Energy efficient lighting installations are usually eligible for utility rebates that defray part of your initial investment. Often these projects pay for themselves in as little as 1 year. You gain the added benefit of better quality lighting, less maintenance, and energy efficiency. We have designed and installed lighting upgrades for churches, schools, and commercial buildings for customers just like you who are often astonished with the results. We also install and service outdoor lighting on buildings and in parking lots to enhance safety and security. Call Stinson Electric, 612-424-7382.
You can borrow.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio. I'm Paul Sadek, along with Corey Regan and Jeff Kavins. Here are some events coming up in the Catholic Church in the Twin Cities in the near future. Natural Family Planning Awareness Week is next week, July 20th through the 26th. You can join with Catholics throughout the Archdiocese in praying a novena for a rebirth of chastity and purity. Novena starts July 18th, concludes July 26th, the Feast of Saints Joachim and Anne.
And also to celebrate NFP Awareness Week, the Archdiocesan Office of Marriage, Family, and Life is hosting an evening of Mass and Reflection with Bishop Andrew Cousins at the St. Paul Seminary on Thursday, July 24th. And this evening begins with Mass at 6 p.m. at St. Mary's Chapel at the St. Paul Seminary. Dinner and reflection follow. The cost is $20. For more information about the Novena and the Mass, as well as registration for the dinner, they're all available online. Just search Natural Family Planning under events on archspm.org or call 651-291-4489. That's 651-291-4489.
And for the men in our listening audience, mark your calendars to hear Matt Burke at Men on a Mission Friday, August 8th at 7 p.m. That'll be at the Embassy Suites in Bloomington. This is your last chance to hear Matt speak before he begins his new position with the NFL. Want to find out more about that? For more information and to register, go to spoweb.org or call 651-451-6114. That's 651-451-6114. What's coming up next week, Jeff?
Coming up on the Rediscover Hour next week, we're going to talk with Father Barsness. We talked to him not too long ago, the night before he was ordained. We're going to bring him back in and talk to him about what it's like in his first month of being a priest. We're also going to be talking about Lectio Divina, building on this week's, last week's program, I guess you would say. We're going to be talking about how to read the Bible on a daily basis in an intimate communication with God. That's coming up on the Rediscover Hour.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330 and is presented by your trusted electrical advisor, Stinson Electric, serving commercial, institutional, and facility managers in our area. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.